Our dear Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful and thankful that you are a God who speaks. You don't remain silent, leaving us down here as to wonder who you are and what your plans and purposes are, that you are like a light that shines in a dark world. And so, Lord, we just pray for us this morning as we read your word, as we seek to understand it. Lord, we pray that you would be at work by your Spirit in us, that you'd be giving us the boldness to believe, that your word would be like a light unto our feet. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in front of you is kind of a bit of a graphic for the next couple of weeks ahead. And the idea is we're setting course, and that's why there's a ship. And the idea is each week that little graphic, that little picture will change a little bit to reflect what we're focusing on each week. But the idea is setting course. There's a typo in that. It's quite an obvious typo. Can you see it? It's kind of embarrassing when you sort of notice how bad it is. But there's kind of a point to it too. Where's the typo? Can someone yell it out? It's not 2033. It's 2024. There you go. We're all over the shop. Not only the wrong year, but the wrong decade. Where will you be in 2033? That's a good question. That's a long way off. 10 years. It's January. Don't you always find when the year ticks over and you go to sign something or you write it for the first time, you can't believe that it's now, usually it's February or March by the time you work out that you're now in the new year. It's about to be 2024, isn't it? Tonight, it's New Year's Eve. And so tonight, many of us will be gathering friends and family, and you'll be thinking about the year that has just been. So you'll be reflecting a little bit, and then you'll be kind of taking a moment to reset your course, and you'll be thinking about the year ahead, and you'll be thinking about what this next year might hold for you. Some of us here might have New Year's resolutions. You might be like me, a bit cynical and a bit jaded about that kind of stuff, so you might deliberately not do New Year's resolutions. But you'll also be thinking about this idea of the year ahead and kind of recommitting yourself to what you're going to do in the year ahead. And so what I'd like to do with you today and over the next few weeks is we're going to just take a little bit of time to do this kind of properly. An interesting stat about New Year's resolutions is that many people just fail in their New Year's resolutions. And one of the reasons why everybody fails is they kind of just come up with it at midnight on New Year's Eve and they say, this is what I'm going to do. And then, of course, 2 or 3 days go by and you've forgotten what that resolution is. We've chosen to deliberately set it out over the month of January. We call this a summer series. And the idea of a summer series is that even if you're not a Christian, and you might be here this morning and you may not be a follower of Jesus, but even if you're not, then you should still be able to get something out of this series. That's the idea of a summer series. The idea is you could still track along with us, but there'll be certain moments where, as followers of Jesus, we'll be talking about how that influences our decisions and how that influences our life in the year ahead. But the idea is, over the next few weeks together, we'll be kind of setting course, if you like, for the rest of the year. And we'll be reflecting on the year that we've just had. We'll be resetting, recommitting. The idea is that idea of reflection, even. Jesus speaks to the church in the book of Revelation. He writes a bunch of letters to the church. And in one of those letters he writes to the church in Ephesus, he writes these words. This is our Lord Jesus. He says, you've persevered and you have endured hardships for my name and you haven't grown weary. Isn't that great? That's just a picture of that ship is persevering. It keeps going and you face hardships, Jesus says to his church. Yet this I hold against you, for you have forsaken your first love. The love that you had at first is gone, Jesus is speaking to his church. Then he says this, consider how far you've fallen, repent and do things that you did at first. So Jesus says to his church to consider, that is to think about it and consider, it's a sort of looking backwards if you like, so you look backwards to the year that you've just had. And the word is used repent, and that's a fancy word for saying just change direction. So you might be going in a certain course. And like the picture of a ship will be something we come back to a couple of times over the next few weeks. And you may be heading in a certain direction, but the word repent means you can change course. And when it comes to God, you can change course. It's not just like, you can repent. And the writer, Jesus, saying to the church, he says, the things that you did at first. Just remember the things that you did at first. There's that idea of as you reflect and as you look back, just remember what it was like at the beginning. So this series that we're looking at is called Setting Course. And it's a chance to set course, and you might do this individually. If you join us over the next few weeks, you'll see in a moment how we're going to break this down, and you could do this with us individually, as an individual, or you could do it as a married couple, or you could do it as a family, or you could even, we'll try and do it a little bit as a community. We consider ourselves the family of God, so we'll be using a little bit of this time in January to think about that as the family of God. But I just want to invite you to come on this journey with us, because it's a new year. If we go to the next slide, it is a new year, and you might have some New Year's resolutions. The passage that we're looking at this morning from 2 Corinthians speaks about the new life. The Bible speaks about a new creation. Just think about this for a moment. Our God, the God of the Bible, is the God of fresh starts. He is the God of new. And there's this key idea all the way through the Bible, particularly in Jesus, that God is doing something very, very new. Look at the passage that I've got with you. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone away, and the new is here. Isn't that fantastic? Our God is a God about making new things. You don't need to be stuck in the past. Friends, that's brilliant. That is good, good news. Especially if maybe you're like me, you've just had a horrible year. If you've had a shocker, then that is good news to hear that you're not stuck, that there is a chance to have a fresh start. And God is in the business of making all things new. This quote that Paul is using in 2 Corinthians, he's writing a letter to a church, and he's writing to this church talking about the new creation, that those are in Christ. He's actually making reference to one of the Old Testament prophets called Isaiah. That's in the Old Testament. And in Isaiah chapter 43, this is the reference he's making. The writer of Isaiah, he's a prophet. He's speaking the word of God to those people in the Old Testament. He says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness." Friends, our God is a God of new things. He's doing new things. He's making all things new. And the reference here is to Isaiah. And in the Old Testament, there's this repeated theme. And the theme is a theme of water. And there's this idea that this water, this spring, this new thing that God is doing, is this new spring of water is dwelling up in a desert. And of course, connected to this is Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. This is one of the Old Testament prophets along with Isaiah. He writes this: "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now, you might be sitting there thinking, what's that all about? As you think about the year ahead, and we're going to jump into the psalm in a moment, as you think about your new thing, there's this idea that God is doing something new, and he's doing something new in Christ. And the people of the Old Testament, the problem that they had was they're trying to carry water jugs, cisterns, are these big, whopping big jugs made out of clay, and they're filling these water jugs, but they're saying that even the water jugs are cracked and broken, and they can't hold the water, can they? Especially if you're in a desert, and they're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for life in the desert with water, but they're carrying these whopping big jugs, and they can't do it. They're broken, the prophet says. But God is going to actually produce this spring of life, this new wellspring in the desert, this well of water is going to spring up in the desert. And the problem is these people in the Old Testament, they're trying to find their satisfaction in themselves. They're the source of their satisfaction. That's where they're going to find the joy. That's where they're going to find their purpose. They're looking for it in themselves. But God is saying, no, 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 I'm doing something new. And this new thing that I'm doing is this wellspring of life. And of course, when Jesus came into this world, Jesus says, the water that I offer you will mean that you never thirst again. The water that I give you is like a wellspring in your heart that wells up to the fullness of life, is the words of Jesus, that as he speaks of this new thing. Friends, our God is a God of new. Ephesians chapter 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life just to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, what are you going to put off? in this year coming along. The idea is we're going to put something new on and we're going to put something away. We're going to put that off. It's almost like an old article of clothing. We're going to take it off and we're going to leave that behind. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's porn. Maybe it's a besetting sin that just keeps coming back and burdening us down. What is it we're going to put away or put off in the new year? 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus from the dead. This hope that we have and this transformational power is the Holy Spirit working in the believer, is the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, is what Paul writes. In Revelation chapter 21, we read this, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is Jesus. Hopefully you can see the main theme here is just new, new, new. And so you might be cynical like I am about New Year's resolutions. And often it's because we make them and we fail, and I do too. But friends, as Christians, we're totally on board with new. And again, as I speak to you here this morning, there are probably some people here who are just like, phew, that is what I need. I need a new start. I need a fresh start. And especially if you're one of the young people in this group today, this is something I find really hard is with technology and with our social media. And the way you think about it is when you go down to the beach today and you walk along the sand, you walk through the sand and then you leave footprints behind, don't you? But then what happens is the waves come up and erase the footprints and it goes back to normal sand. And that's kind of like forgiveness. And that's kind of like what Jesus does for us, is he covers over those mistakes we've made. He covers over that rebellion. And when we've rejected God and just been selfish, Jesus covers over those footprints. But if you're a young person today with social media, when you make those mistakes, it's almost like you're walking through cement. And that cement goes hard, and it's almost like there's no forgiveness in this world. There's no grace. That when you put that footprint in the concrete, it hardens, and it's there for the whole world to see for the rest of your life. They just have to go back in your social media, and they'll find all your big mistakes that you've made growing up. But friends, it's such good news that our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is about grace. And friends, don't forget, as we think about the year ahead, not to forget that wonderful grace and its connection to new life. The connection there is you can be honest with God and you can kind of confess. You can say where I've been wrong, because grace says that God will love you even when you admit that you've wronged. Even when you go, you know what, I screwed up. And I made a mess of this, the world will snap you and the world will judge you and the world will crush you in that guilt and shame. But when it comes to Jesus, you get grace. And because you get grace, well, you can be real with God because you know you're still safe with him. You know you've still got love because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep thinking about the new and this year ahead. And as you do that, if we go to the next slide, very quickly, this is what we'll be doing over the next few weeks together. This week, we're looking at a new year, the idea of a new creation in Christ and a new focus. That's us today. But look at Psalm 84. As we look at this, I'll unpack this from Psalm 84. Let me read to you. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. This is the psalmist. Just listen to how he speaks of his heart and what he yearns for. What do you want in your year ahead? What is it that you desire for your year ahead? Listen to the psalmist. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns. That's the idea of longing. It even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out. And again, friends, what is your heart crying out for? You might be sitting there going, I don't know. I don't care anything. Like your heart's stone. I don't even know how to answer that question. I can't tell you what my heart wants. I'm so busy watching TV and social media, and I'm just trying to pay the bills, and I'm just trying to get some sleep after a busy year. I don't even know what I want. Friends, this is the idea of the next few weeks. What is it you want? Even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself. God even cares about those little birds. The idea is, of course he cares for you. You're much more important than those little birds. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they are ever praising you. The word is blessed. What do you want in the year ahead? That idea of blessed means the good life. And it's not just happy, happy, joy, joy, and it's not just like everything's like a fake veneer, everything's okay. The idea of blessing is a good, solid, strong, deep joy, even in the midst of storms and tribulations. This idea of blessedness, of the good life. Friends, the psalmist says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, that's in God, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. That idea of pilgrimage is like a journey. The idea is we're all going on a journey, and the idea is where are you going this year ahead? That's week one. In week two, if we go back to the slide, in week two, so this is week, and in the second week, what are your opportunities and challenges in the year ahead? As you think about this year, as you just generally just start to think for yourself and your year ahead, what are your opportunities? What are your challenges that you might face? If we just leave it up there for a moment as people think, again, let me read to you verses 8 and 10. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. The idea is, as you think about your priorities and opportunities, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. This is what the psalmist says. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. See what the psalmist is saying? This is better, this is worse. I would rather this than this. That's the idea of setting priorities. And next week, as we come together, again, we'll be looking at the words of our Lord Jesus, and he says to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you also. He's talking about seek first. That's the idea of what is your priorities in the year ahead. What are your priorities in this year ahead? What are you seeking to do with your priorities in the year ahead? That's in week two. In week three, what are your vulnerabilities and temptations to self-sabotage? The idea is as soon as you set goals, we all have struggles and we all have temptations. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. These are the things that sometimes we self-sabotage. Even though we commit to something, we know that those hard times will come. And the way the psalmist puts it in Psalm 84, let me read it to you. It's a very interesting little verse. It says this, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. And that valley of Baca is a very weird valley because it's the only reference in the whole Bible to this valley of Baca. And so people wonder what this valley is. And they think it's a valley which is a place of tears and weeping. It's a place of hardship. It's a place of drought and dryness. It's a wild and lonesome place to be. And friends, maybe that's some of you here today. Maybe that's the kind of year you've just had. And they think that this is why it's called the Valley of Baca, is because there's a plant in the Middle East. It's a thorn bush. And it only grows in dry places. But the idea is in the middle of the desert, this bush somehow survives. And friends, the idea is as you think about your year ahead, you're going to have some vulnerabilities and temptations to just die, to roll over, give up. But friends, we want to press on in our faith. We want to keep persevering in our faith and get to the finish line. So in week four, we're going to look at what is your source and habits to cope. Where will you turn to when the going gets tough? Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's the saying. And again, the idea is it's now hard and I'm just going to stop. As soon as it's something hard, I give up. But what will you turn to in those moments to keep going in the middle of it? The psalmist says, for example, the psalmist at verse 8, hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. So the psalmist will use prayer. In the middle of this valley of Baca, the psalmist is saying, I'm going to pray to God. Maybe that's a good habit to form in the year ahead. That's one of the habits. But what about this source? What about the source at verse 11 and 12? For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Psalmist is saying, I'm going to turn to this sun. God is like a sun that gives light and warmth and life. God is like a shield, a place of refuge. So when these storms hit, when the waves hit your boat, the psalmist is saying, I'm going to turn to God. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who puts their trust in you. Friends, in the last week, when we join together, we're going to wrap it up and we're going to put it into action. And the idea is that BD, Brett Davis, many of us know Brett as a member of our church, he's going to kind of wrap it up for us. And we're going to do some practical things based upon these weeks that we've been looking at. But the idea is, as Kate has shared, the encouragement as the month goes on is to think about like either a word or a phrase or a Bible verse, which you'll kind of take some sort of commitment to in the year ahead. This will be my commitment to myself, to God, and I'm going to try and sort of remind myself of this word. The word that I'm going with this year, again, just as an example, I don't want to ask you to do anything that I'm not prepared to do. My word is to be near to God. The psalmist talks about here, blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Blessed are those whose strength is in God. James 4, chapter 8, God says, come near to God and he will come near to you. There's a promise from God. Hebrews chapter 10, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings. For our hearts are sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience. There's that idea of the forgiveness of sins. There's the idea of the wave wiping away those footprints. Our bodies are washed with pure water. Psalm 73, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds. Friends, my phrase that I'm kind of, I'm not going to tattoo myself with it, but I might write it down on a door and I'll come back to it all year, is this idea of being near to God. Now, you might like to take that one, or you might like to, again, over the next few weeks together, figure out this sense of commitment of your year ahead as you set course. What will yours be? And let me encourage you, do it by yourself, with God, in prayer, but do it with a spouse or do it with a friend so that you have accountability and also so that you can remind and encourage each other to do that as a little group, because then you've got a better chance of making it. Friends, let me finish with this last saying. If we just go to the last slide, and I'm going to finish with this. It's a picture. It's a picture of the Christian life. And I love this picture of a Christian life because I think it rings very, very true. And it comes from John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader who then was born again when he met the risen Lord Jesus, and he said, I'm going to put this slavery thing behind me. And he was just blown away by that amazing grace and the forgiveness of God. And then he wrote that beautiful song that we sing. In one of his autobiography, he talks about the Christian life is like a ship, and that's why there's the ship. And the idea is this, he says, the Christian life is like, we are all like ships. And we're not all on the same ship, because there's that saying, isn't there, during COVID, we're all on the same boat, which is not right, because we're not all on the same boat. Actually, we're all on different boats. We're all our own boat. And the idea is we all start out from a different starting point. Some of us start on one side of the world, the other start on the other side of the world. But we all set sail, and as we all set sail, we're all heading to the same port. We're all heading to the same destination, which is eternal life with God our Father and the wonder of our Lord Jesus. That's our destination. But the idea is the journey is different for each ship. And so the idea is for some of us, your sailing ship may just be smooth sailing from beginning to end. And some people, that seems to be their Christian life. They're just smooth sailing. No suffering, no tribulations, no hardship. From the moment they get born to the moment they die, it's just smooth sailing. But a lot of us don't have that experience. Some of us have these tremendous storms. And sometimes it's at the beginning of the journey, sometimes it's at the end of the journey, but we have these tremendous storms, and some of us, like, there's shipwrecks, and some of us don't make it. But the idea is that the Holy Spirit is the wind that's blowing the sails, that it empowers God's people to keep going. And it's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, is a Spirit that lives and breathes in his followers, Jesus' followers today. And friends, what John Newton is talking about is that whilst we all start in different places, because I don't know your life story, I don't know where you started out from, and I don't know if you're going well right now. Maybe you've got a cruisy good life. Maybe you've had a terrible year. Maybe you need a fresh start. Maybe you've been beset by a tremendous storm. But friends, this wonderful good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is he's the God of new and he's the God of fresh starts. Let me pray for us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you just for the word that you give us and the word put on flesh in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God of new things. We thank you that we can put away the old. We thank you that we can confess, that we can be forgiven, that just as the east is far from the west, we thank you that our sins are removed from us. We thank you for that amazing grace that we can just stand before you accepted and loved, not because of our merits and not because of how great we are, but because of how great your Son Jesus is and his death and his resurrection. Lord, we thank you for that tremendous gift of your grace. And Lord, as we think about the year ahead, maybe for some of us it's been a good year, maybe for some of us it's been a shocker. But Lord, we thank you that there is fresh starts, that we can turn over a new leaf, that we can reflect, and then we can also just recommit ourselves to you. And again, Lord, we thank you for that great love that you have for us, that even as we fail and even as we trip over, that you still love us. Help us, Lord, to persevere and to press on. Help us, Lord, to keep going even in the storms and even in the midst of those vulnerabilities and temptations and struggles that we all face. Lord, help us to get to that wonderful finish line, that home that we have in heaven that shines brighter than the sun. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.